Hello and welcome everyone to this week's episode of Double DM Podcast, where today we will be talking about advancing the plot, making sure that whenever you do something in TTRPGs, it is advancing the plot. Do you even need to do that? Do you need to pay attention to it? Or do you just do it automatically? We're here to find out, but that's for after our recap. So first, let's ask the age-old question. Niels, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I had a lovely evening yesterday. Mm-hmm. Just got a bad message. That was to be expected. Okay. A death in the family. It was not predetermined. That's the wrong word. I knew it would happen eventually anyway, so I'm fine. I already closed that chapter some time ago. Mm. But yeah, it's a bit mixed. Mm-hmm. But overall, that aside, I'm doing great.
Okay. What can we say, right? It happens. It's mm-hmm. still a sad tragedy, obviously, when it happens. So obviously, my deepest condolences to you, your family. I hope that it won't be too difficult. Obviously, take all the time you need.
Exactly.
Just so people know, we are here because this is still a highlight of our weeks normally, so something to cheer Niels up.
Exactly. It's something else to think about as well, so I'll take that chance anytime. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm fine. I'm genuinely fine. It's not just putting that away somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm genuinely fine.
I mean, you can go over that in therapy.
I will tomorrow. That's another thing. I got a therapy spot. So
nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Today's a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So we are both free to do the stuff we have to do, want to do, mm-hmm. can do, like sleep, which I didn't.
Perfect.
To make it short, a friend of mine is currently in Berlin for the AMAZE, which is a convention and basically conference more than a convention, really, of game designers with innovative designs and innovative ideas. Obviously, virtual reality is a big thing there. And right, it's just a celebration of game artists from Germany and probably also wider Europe, and she's part of that. She's completing her studies for game design this year, mm-hmm. and obviously is looking for job opportunities, connections, and a way to make this also into a living, really.
Yeah, awesome.
However, the thing is, her Airbnb or her place that she booked herself for the time being canceled on her last week, less than a week before the convention. Finding something within a week's notice in Berlin is almost impossible.
Yeah.
You're young, you're broke, you don't have the money to just do that. And she was like, okay, I don't know many people in Berlin because she isn't from here. And the idea was, okay, so I'm just going to ask the people that I know, which was basically me. Can I sleep on your couch from Wednesday till Sunday, probably? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. What do you need? But yeah, obviously, I had to deep clean my apartment more or less because, right, I'm not saying that I live in filth, but when you live alone in a single apartment, you don't care about the stack of boxes that you have right next to your kitchen table or something because you just... It's only you that sees it. And even if you have guests for only a few hours, you don't care. But if you have someone staying with you for half a week, mm-hmm. you want them to feel comfortable. So I deep cleaned the apartment. My living room right now is a complete bedroom, more or less, for her. Yesterday, I went to the Berlin Central Station to pick her up and basically walk her through Berlin a bit before she would go to the convention because it was opening day that day, so it opened at like 7 or 8, and she wanted to be there, obviously, for the opening and wanted to be there a bit earlier to meet some of her old connections. Yeah, and the thing was just, okay, shit, my flip phone, she has one of those Samsung flip phones that you can fold in half, or those fold phones, and right, they have protective film over their screen. That protective film obviously looks different for than normal phones for that fold phone. So she was like, I don't want to do this myself, because I just don't know if I can do it or if I maybe just do something dumb and therefore have to pay more if I have to then repair it. So there's Samsung stores in Berlin, right? We can go to one. I'm like, yeah, sure, here's one. That's the closest to me. Or that's also the closest to when you arrive at the central station. So we say, okay, let's go there. We go there and they say, yeah, we don't do that here. You have to go to the Samsung store basically in the other direction, right? From central station, you can go basically everywhere in Berlin. In the span of 30-40 minutes. So we basically took 30 minutes to get to that one store. And from that store to the other, it was also another 30 minutes. Because it was more or less the exact opposite direction of Central Station. There's no other choice. We go there. Get there. Yeah, okay, sure, we can take that. Takes an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, it takes an hour. We leave. Conveniently, the workplace of my mother is right around the corner of that store. So I said, we can just go to my mother and sit in their break room.
All right.
And that's what we did. We went into the workplace of my mother and sat in the break room for like 30, 40 minutes before we went back to the store. And yeah, the protective film was done. It was all good, blah, blah, blah. And we finally could go to the convention, which was the other direction. Basically, right? You have Central Station in the middle, and then you draw a big triangle around it, and you will hit both stores and the convention center.
Perfect.
Public traffic or public transportation at a roughly around rush hour time was very fun for like 2.5 hours. Right? Berlin is a walkable city. But that doesn't fucking matter if you have to go from one end to the other.
Exactly.
I can get everything I need in like 10 minutes, but if I need to be somewhere... It takes time.
And since the basic lines or the basic network is pretty old, there is a lot of failure at some points from the tracks, from the trains themselves, from the stations that just fall into disrepair over the last 70, 80 years or even longer than that. So obviously that needs to be repaired. The longer we go on, the more of these old things need to be repaired. And that takes time to make it look as before, to keep that look alive, to keep the look the same and not just have a modern art, modern building there, but still keep it in the same vein that it used to be without or just completely overhauling the whole station. But yeah, that takes time, and therefore some connections fall flat, or we don't have enough bus or train drivers. That's also a big thing, as per usual in every with every bigger public transportation organization as well. So we have an amazing, or we could have, one of the best public transportation networks in the world, but since it's pretty old and hard to maintain, there it kind of lacks at some points. But it's still always at least good. Berlin public transportation explained. You're welcome, world.
Anyway, TTRPGs.
Yeah.
Did you have anything?
We had... wait, let me think. What happened? Yeah, we had one session. In which we fought a pretty high-level spellcaster, somewhere around 19th, 20th level, something along those lines, maybe even a bit higher.
Oh my god, can you... one thing, personally for me. When the text read, this is a level spellcaster, right?
Yeah.
Is it the class level or the level of spells that they can cast? What do I put in there when I make a stat block? Because I don't fucking know. I never look at that shit.
When you read that as level spellcaster, usually I think it means class level of the spellcasting class.
Oh my god, okay. Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, okay.
Because a 9th level spellcaster isn't able to cast 9th level spells, but a 17th level is able to.
Okay.
So I knew we definitely fought something of 19th, 17th level or higher, probably higher, because they had multiple 9th level spell slots, which is... They had at least two, which is a bitch, especially when you are a party of 6th level. That's... difficult, but let's just say the third level critical guiding bolt for 60 damage took a huge chunk out of that person's health pool. So it was over quickly, but only because we had an amazing plan that also definitely worked without any complications, right? Because plans always work without any complications. But yeah, that was basically the session, getting to that person, fighting that person, because they were a necromancer that controlled people from far away to plan to murder the king's daughter and the next heir to the throne. That makes any sense?
Okay.
And we were kind of part of one of the assassination attempts and stopped that. Then the necromancer wanted to take us out because we defiled his plans the first time. And then we had a personal investment in this and said, well, you don't get to attack us in our home. Fuck you. We are going to find you and end you. Bye-bye. And yeah, that's what we did. And that's basically where we ended the session right after the fight. So we'll have to see whatever this, the aftercare, I'd say, entails. But yeah, that's it for me for TTRPGs this week. Do you have any that you can spill in a quick...
I didn't have any yet, but I do have a D&D one-shot, not D&D one-shot, a D&D campaign today, a mask session tomorrow, and a dark eyes session on Saturday.
So you're packed for the next few days.
I do hope that that's the case.
Best of luck to that.
Yeah, we just leveled up to level 2 in the D&D game. The mask game is... Basically, the description I gave my players is, okay, there's a fire in a tech building nearby. We need to have someone contain these kind of unnatural flames. Get the civilians to safety, obviously, and save any tech you can. So that. And then also the dark eye session where I don't know what's going to happen at all.
Perfect.
But I'm prepared in some way, at least. So,
are you, though?
No.
Are you ever prepared?
No.
Perfect.
I am totally not. But that's okay. Anyway, so I do only have stuff coming up. Nothing I had happen this week. So yeah, with that, I have nothing else. And we could just go into the episode.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, let's go to the episode. Hey listener, how are you enjoying the show so far? Tell us about it in whatever way you see fit. Go to our social media pages and add us or DM us about your favorite episode of the show. We would love to hear from you on what impact our show might have had on your home games. Or you could review us on your podcast app of choice and leave us a nice message with a 5-star review. And if you want to go above and beyond, bring a friend into the fold. Tell them about our show and refer us to them so they can get a piece of the pie as well. Thank you for listening to DM and joining us on this incredible journey.
So, Emil, I was scrolling through social media as you do sometimes.
Yeah.
And on a TTRPG related post, I can't quite remember what it was, what the post was about. I scrolled through the comments just because I wanted to engage with that post in some way, but it's been some time. I forgot what the post was about or what the comment exactly read, but the comment posed a question that I thought was really interesting, and it was along the lines of, do all encounters have to advance the plot in some way, shape, or form? I think that's something interesting to talk about, but trying to maybe divide the game between plot and other stuff, or can you divide it between plot and other stuff? Is the plot completely detached, or is it completely attached to whatever you're doing? Always. And yeah, that's basically the thing that I wanted to talk to you a bit about today is, do you think that all encounters have to advance the plot in a certain way?
So I think this question is, in the regards to TTRPGs, very interesting. It is very interesting of a question because no, they do not have to advance the plot. Because I think that not all encounters are made for the plot.
Yeah.
Some encounters come from necessity. Some encounters come from random stuff that is happening. However, with TTRPGs as well, is everything about the plot? I wouldn't say so. Because for me, the thing is, there's kind of I don't want to make it sound so negative, but there's an obsession with plot in many spaces of storytelling, especially the TTRPG space, where people want to tell a story. They want to tell a plot. And it's like, yeah, sure, I get what you mean. A plot is great, but we're not here writing a book, not here writing a movie. Plot is something that, right, it is a story that is kind of already paved forward. In TTRPGs, you have no road paved ahead of you, in the assumed case, at least. Right? You write your story as you go most of the time. So it's hard to say that every encounter must advance the plot, because the plot is what comes from all of those encounters, from all of those situations you are in. From that comes the plot. Or at least there comes a crucial part of plot, right? The GM is still allowed to have an idea of where the characters will go. They are still allowed to have a quest for the characters to follow. That could still be part of the plot, but a crucial part comes, how do the characters even get to the point, right? Where do they walk along? What do they do? What do they find? What do they understand, and what do they do then? That is the plot, and the plot only comes from the moment you are playing. So I wouldn't even say that in the TTRPG everything is for the plot, because there is nothing that can be for the plot, as there is no plot in the classical sense of plot.
Exactly. That's the weird thing with TTRPGs, but also the amazing thing that nothing is set in stone. Nothing that you ever that you ever will be or might do in the future. Nothing of that is set. Nothing of that you have to do or have to be. Nothing. The only thing that is set in stone is the things that you've already done. And with some weird time magic and some fantasy things, even that isn't the case necessarily. But then we get to the time travel paradox and all of that weirdness. But yeah, generally just the past is set and the future is yours to grab and yours to form, yours to shape the way that you want to. And therefore, to answer the question plainly, yes and no at the same time.
Yeah.
The thing because is, if you have to advance a plot with a with a certain encounter, then you're writing a book in some way, shape, or form. When you want to predetermine that this special encounter will have this impact on the story or on the plot. So therefore, no, I don't think all encounters have to advance the plot. But I also think all encounters in a TTRPG sense do advance the plot, because every encounter shapes the story that you tell as a table. You as a, the way that you as players engage with the challenges set before you, write the story for yourselves and for everyone at the tables. So every encounter does advance the plot of the game, not of the world itself. Because and even that, because TTRPGs are weird because you have two driving forces, no linear path usually in the assumed state. It's weird, but I love it.
TTRPGs are a different medium from books, from movies, from video games, from even board games. All of these mediums are different. And trying to apply the definition of plot that we all learned at some point in our lives, either in theater classes, from just watching movies and playing games, or even in school, doesn't work for TTRPGs the same way it does for those mediums. Because plot means something different in every game, or in every sense. Because plot is an organized pattern of events that are related to one another. So for example, to take an example from my TTRPG campaign, the prince went missing. The king is tasking everyone in the country that thinks that they could help find him with helping, with investigating and with continuing a search so that the prince is definitely found. The prince was kidnapped, taken away, and there are clues. Players find those clues and they follow these clues. The order in which they follow those clues is rather semi-relevant. At the end, all of these clues will lead to the same outcome, to the conclusion. The prince is not in this city right now. We need to go into this direction to find him. We will find the spot where the prince was taken from the palace, and from there we will know where he has to go. And these important points of interest events, more or less, that cannot be avoided, that is the baseline of a plot, right? The characters are definitely in a palace. They are definitely getting the quest to find the prince, and they are definitely going to find the abandoned building where the prince was taken, so then he can then be taken somewhere else. And the event is definitely that the players will find that building. Everything between is just the path from A to B. But A and B are still set points. You will have A, you will have B. In a TTRPG, you can think of these cornerstones in your adventure of, I definitely want my players to be at this location and be at this location too, and I want them to see this and I want them to see that. It is okay if you have some of these cornerstones, especially if they're broader cornerstones. So I want my players, for example, especially when you're starting something, it is easy to have a very specific cornerstone. So for example, the palace, the room of the prince where you find all the clues. You can say that that's the starting point of the campaign. And then it is the starting point. It is a very detailed plot point A. But point B cannot be an exact location because you never know if your players will actually go there.
Exactly.
You can force them to go there, but we don't want to force them to go there. They could arrive there, or they will most likely arrive there because it is the logical conclusion, but you cannot say for certain. So your plot is more or less still there. A plot in TTRPG's terms is just a way broader thing than it is in other media, where, for example, a plot in a book or in a movie is divided into five acts, where the third act is the climax, the fourth is the downfall, and stuff like that, right? You can have that. But in a TTRPG, you need to be broader. You need to be more abstract. And in that way, yes, every encounter advances the plot, because an encounter has to have a beginning and an end. And when that ending is reached, the plot has reached another point of interest, the ending of the encounter. But no one would say that that is an actual plot or even an actual advancement of the plot.
Yeah, love it.
The thing is, they do advance the plot, as we've said, but thinking about it in the terms of what a plot actually is, in the media literacy understanding of the word, no, they do not. Not every encounter has to. Every encounter can. And this is the thing that I want to say. If you get away from thinking that everything is about plot, or generally thinking of TTRPGs as plots, or of the TTRPG stories as plots where events are followed by the players, you would have probably a better game, in my opinion. If you get away from this thinking of this is the plot, it's for the plot, it's important to have this and this. No, it is important to have a natural flow of the game.
Yeah.
To let the players and the characters and the game and the world take you wherever you want to, wherever it goes.
Hmm.
Whatever happens, happens. And whatever comes after that comes as a result of what has happened before.
Yeah, and that just sparked something that I wanted to throw at you, is in terms of TTRPGs, could you think of if you have a main villain, a big bad evil guy, whatever, and they make a plan to achieve their goal, as they do.
Yeah.
Right? Could you think of the plot as the BBEG's plan, and the encounters are just ways to engage with that plan?
I like the thinking. However, I would still say no. The BBEG has a plan, and it is what I mostly do as a game master. Thinking about what the antagonists and the things my players cannot control do around them, giving them enough space to do their own thing, but at the same time having them react to what I do. But however, I wouldn't say that the BBEG having a plan of what to do is actively a plot my players are going to follow.
That's not what I meant. Not necessarily being the plot that the players have to follow or will follow, but if the characters who are the main protagonists and cornerstones of the whole game, because without them there wouldn't be a game, without having the players there, the plan would just unfold as is.
Kind of, yeah.
So could you say that would be, in normal literature or normal mediums, be the plot of this whole world currently, or of this campaign?
The thing is that I do get what you're saying. I do think that that is a good way of thinking about it. However, while for the sake of this, I will just say, yeah, I do agree. However, personally, I just do not think of plots and stuff like that as events.
Yeah.
I have the villain and the world has a plan. People have ideas and plans, and I write those down, and then I figure out how they could act on those. But I do that mostly on the fly. Well, yeah, for example, I have a villain in one of my games, a mage, a wizard that has a certain plan for something, that has kind of like, that has an evil master type of deal, right? He has his dark secrets, and he wants to protect them, and he has a plan to start controlling a whole county in a country and begin basically sowing chaos wherever he can, right? That is his plan, kind of. And his ideas for that are more or less, okay, my idea first was to make sure that I kind of take control of the count by making him my thrall.
Yeah.
And then, right, I figured out how he could do that and figured out more and more and more and more about that. And then he tried to act on it. Didn't work because the players prevented it. And then I basically said, okay, he wouldn't stop his plan. He would find a different way. What way would he find, right? The thing is that there is still the word plot kind of is a series of set events happening in relation to one another. The villain will destroy this tower of the city with his dark magic spell, because that is what he wants to do. When he has destroyed the tower, he will do that. And when he has done that, he will do this and this and that. That is kind of what a plot is, right? And I just do not think in those terms for my villains or anyone, right? They have a plan, they have ideas, they have resources to do those things, and then I figure out what they would do in that moment. But there is no set event after that.
Yeah.
As with TTRPG, I do not think about an event that happens in the future. I think only about what happens in the present. And I just think that the word plot kind of implies having thought about what happens in the future a little too much for the taste of TTRPGs. It's not a bad thing as a game master to think ahead. Okay, my players are now going to this open open bathhouse. They will find out this and this and this information there. Mm-hmm. What will they do with that? What is the next action they will take? I can prepare for that, right? It is okay to think a little bit ahead and even go, okay, so if they do that, they would probably figure out that or that or that and that and that. I know where the prince is in my game. Mm-hmm. My players don't. And I know they will figure it out eventually. So I can already plan what will and await them on their path to the prince, but only in a sense of, okay, where will they travel along? Okay, they will probably travel the road. Mm. What could the road be like? Not what will happen on the road, but what type of, as dumb as it sounds, what character does this road have?
Yeah.
Is it a road that is well known for its wandering merchants? So I'm going to prepare some wandering merchants for the future. Or is it a road that is known for its bandits? Prepare some bandits. Why not? Oh, the road travels through a forest. What are some typical forest things that could happen? But I'm never going to say they're definitely going to encounter a wolf next.
Mm.
Because I don't know if they're going to even be able to encounter a wolf in any kind of satisfying way. And I think that is exactly where the question comes in again that was asked on TikTok that you read. Does every encounter need to advance the plot? I don't know. But every encounter that I create for my characters should be satisfying for the plot.
Yeah, for the plot of the thing that is TTRPG, your TTRPG campaign. That's exactly where this whole quote-unquote problem lies, is that the normal media terms don't really apply to TTRPGs because they are so different. They kind of do, but they kind of don't. If you want to have a satisfying and assumed normal quote-unquote game with players having agency, because you just have, the thing comes always down to, you have two driving forces. You can't have a plot that is set in stone. It's just not possible if you want to have agency or if you want your players to have agency. Because if something is set in stone, how can your players have agency? No matter what they do, this still will happen? I don't think so. So you have to be on your foot, and it's a active and reactive thing at the same time for both parties. You as a GM have to be active with the world around them, that they advance their stories, their plans, their whatever they want to do, but have to be reactive to the actions your players take in reaction or in reaction to whatever your plans were or the world's plans were, or to the sometimes fun but stupid ideas of the players, because they have their own thing, they have their own mind, and they want to do their own actions, and they have their own plan, what they want to achieve. Just as your villain, your local merchant, or the priest of this town. Mm-hmm. Everyone in your world has some sort of plan what they want to do, some sort of goals. That's just what makes a character a character.
Yeah.
Having a personality and a goal what they want to achieve and not stagnate. Or if their goal is, I want to keep the status quo as is, is also a goal that they want to achieve, something they want to work towards. And every character in your world has that, including the player characters.
Especially the player characters,
especially,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because if a player character that I'm asking, when I'm asking for player characters, I'm asking, what is your goal?
Yeah.
What do they want? What is something that they're scared of? What is something that they will always do? What is something that they will never do? What is their secret? What is their idea of stuff, right? What is their morale? It's better than alignment if you ask someone, okay, what is your codex? What will you never do, and what will you always try to do? I will never try to harm a child. I will always try to protect my friends before myself. Gives me way more ideas than I am lawful good or neutral good.
Exactly.
Because, right, even those terms, lawful good, neutral good, chaotic evil, they have a lot of range in between them. And you can best figure out that range through that. And that is what I do for most of my characters. Figure out, most of the NPCs have, what do they want? And even small side characters that are only there for like one scene in the game, I can still write down a goal for them.
Mm-hmm.
Their goal might be a little bit more short-sighted than what might a big character's goal be. Like a paladin that is on a quest to rinse the country of its dark roots. That is a big quest. But I can also just have Frog NPC Hip Hop Skip Mickey that just wants to break dance for money.
Yeah.
That is also a goal. But if that is his life goal, I don't know. But it is his goal for that moment, for that scene, for that encounter. When we're thinking about plot and talking about TTRPGs and using the word plot, it's not a bad thing to use plot. Plot is a word that everyone understands. And you can talk about the way your TTRPGs are currently going, what arc you're in, what chapter of your story you're telling. And there is a plot. There's an overarching plot between things, but the plot is more of here, a plot is less of a series of events that especially will still happen, because that part is entirely devoid of what has already happened, or it could be, right? You don't need to think about what encounters definitely will happen in the future. But what you can think about is all the encounters that already happened have a certain theme to them. How can I use that theme in future encounters?
Yeah.
And then, yes, your encounters will advance the plot. Not in a direct way of, cool, the players now have had a confrontation with one of the villain's henchmen and therefore have more information. The players had a combat with someone that had the kind of the same ideas as the villain, and the players were kind of understanding, not seeing everything black and white. If that is the theme of your first two arcs of your campaign, then try to find a way to put it into the third and fourth and fifth and however many you do. And those themes, you might only realize them later on. For example, one theme in one of my games, Phantoms of Chaos, is chaos. And that villain that I talked about, the wizard, he wants to sow chaos. Why? How? Doesn't really matter at this conceptualizing abstract stage. But chaos is important. Making sure that his ideas, his plan, his fighting, his everything is kind of tweaked to be chaotic and throw the players off, make them guess, make them wonder, make them have nightmares about random fucked up shit that is going to happen. That type of stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what I usually think of as plot, in quotation marks, for my games, is rather I sow a seed with an idea in my head with what this could be about and propose these quest hooks, these plot hooks, as they are called, to my players, and then see what they engage with and interact with. And then build the short-term goals around that a bit, or show the world parts that have these short-term goals to my party or to my players, so they want to interact with that more. It's a plot in TTRPGs is an organic thing that keeps changing and evolving and being created all while it's also unfolding. It's, yeah, for my Draco Somnium campaign that I'm currently running, I've sown the seed with, hey, you all have the same dream. Dragons will reawaken. If that is going to happen or not isn't my thing to determine. It's just a possibility that this could potentially happen. And then I've prepared nothing else, basically, other than the plan of the villain. And then let's see where the road takes us. What do my characters want to do? How do they interact with everyone that is somewhat related to the villain or not? Who knows? What information does the villain get from the player characters through whatever means they have? I don't know what the villain will do next. I just know what his goals are.
Yeah.
And then try to act and or react to the things that the players do to thwart that, even though they don't know that they are thwarting that or not. Maybe. Who knows? I don't. And that's the beauty
of it. No one has to know, really, the thing is, right? Sometimes happy little accidents happen and they lead to that plot. And the thing is, right, you can, and maybe you should, before a campaign in session zero, talk about this. The thing is, right, there are module adventures, right, for TTRPGs, adventure modules that give you kind of a plot that happens. And yeah, those modules are kind of just a plot for you to follow. They are put into chapters, chapter 1 till chapter 15, and the characters are supposed to go from chapter 1 to chapter 2 to chapter 3 to chapter 4. And every chapter has certain points where the players should be. And yeah, you could argue, and it is right to do that, that that is a plot for your players to follow. But I still think that even within that plot, there is a lot of stuff for your players to do stuff. I mean, in my Tyranny of Dragons game, my players literally skipped two chapters by smart plays that they did. Or at that point, they thought that it was very dumb what they did. But I was like, yeah, it's dumb, but it also has a good effect for the campaign. While these chapters are giving you a plot, it is not a set in stone plot.
Exactly.
Especially with the Tyranny of Dragons module, the entire plot is mostly running after the cult. It gives you a playbook. The cult is going. It is not doing very good job of it in D&D terms for me. The adventure module is mostly weirdly written. I'm not going to say it's bad because I really much like it, but I think that it is not a good written adventure. But it gives you a playbook for this cult. What are they going to do? What will their actions be? Where are they? That is the information you need to know. And that is the information you need to convey to to your players in some way and then let them make their own decisions. The most obvious choice is to go somewhere, and that is going to be the next chapter in the game. But no one tells you that you need to do exactly as the chapter says, especially if your players have messed up the chapters beforehand anyway. I remember the one chapter, The Mirror of the Dead Man, where the players are basically finding this old castle that the cult uses to basically haul their wares and stolen goods around the continent. First of all, they did kind of what the chapter says that they're supposed to do, kind of investigate, kind of sneak around and snoop everything out. And then they just blew the whole thing up. And if that is the thing that they want to do, then that is the thing that they are gonna do. And you should let them do that. You will then have to figure out what happens. Yeah, but that is the fun part. That session was one of the most fun I've ever had. It was also very frustrating for me, who has prepared something else, but that is the nature. If I prepare something else, I cannot expect it to happen. And if I would expect it to happen, that is kind of a problem, especially the more I set in stone beforehand, right? If I prepare myself for an encounter with the boss of the whole castle, yeah, that is a good thing to prepare because there's a very high likely chance that it's going to happen, but you cannot be certain that it happens. So you cannot really be sad about that it didn't happen in the end.
Yeah.
It's just the way it happens. And that is the thing. There is plot in TTRPGs and there is ideas of plots, and you as a GM will have a plot idea. You will have. That is the thing that you will have. That is something I really want to say. You will have ideas for a plot. And it's not bad to write them down. Write down certain cornerstones of that plot that you want to hit. It is nature. It is a good thing to get yourself prepared and prepare those cornerstones. The thing that you just need to realize is that it doesn't matter if something advances or is good for the plot that you have in mind. The more important thing is, as I've said before, is that the adventure and the encounter and the moment, the scene, is satisfying for the current situation. So if your encounter is with a lot of assassins while your players are investigating an assassin, that is going to be a satisfying encounter. The players are going to enter a bar where they know that there's a secret bar underneath for the black market and stuff and for criminals, but they have no way to get down there. And they become agitated. They become more demanding with the barkeep. And the three assassins that are sitting there basically as guards in the tavern, they slowly get prepared for a battle. It is a satisfying encounter to suddenly have the players attacked by the very thing they are trying to investigate.
Yeah.
It is a satisfying encounter. It doesn't matter if it actually advances the plot, because at the end of the day, maybe there will just be four dead bodies and the players entering the underground tavern that they could have also entered a different way. Sure. Is it advancing the plot? Yeah. But what's more important is it is satisfying what is currently happening.
Exactly.
It is giving the players a validation as well. The encounter, the situation, the scene is satisfying for them because, damn, that fits into what my expectations were for what is going to happen. That totally fits into the whole scheme of things, and it just feels good.
Yeah, and especially the validation part, that's something that I want to touch on a bit more. Yeah, yeah. You have plots and all of that. You may have an overarching idea where shit wants to go, but you have little adventures in between that guide you or that guide the players, or the players decide, I want to do that instead, or that for that reason. There you have another new plot in quotation marks. You have something new to create, or something new to follow, or the players to follow, because, hey, they want to investigate a murder. Even though the world is going to end in 5 days, they want to follow that murder. Sure, we can do that, no problem. But therefore you need, the smaller the scale gets, I think the more set in stone something can be, even though it should not be set in stone. When you think about the whole campaign, it should be really, really flexible. But if you shrink it down to the next 5 minutes in this tavern, there can be a lot more set in stone. Like in the next 5 minutes, person X enters the tavern for whatever reason. That can be set in stone. That's not the big deal here. But when they want to investigate something smaller or do something on a smaller scale than the grand scheme of the campaign or a grand scale of the campaign, it is okay to have a more defined plot than for the whole campaign. And through encounters that feel satisfying and fitting to the thing that they are currently doing, you give them these or the validation that you talked about. Like when you investigate something about assassins, being attacked by assassins and trying to be assassinated is a valuable and good thing to have encountered that. That's how you say it. Because then in this smaller storyline, your characters know they're on the right path. Mm-hmm. They might get too close to the real thing or the information that they are trying to seek to blow up this assassination ring. Who knows? Why else would you send your top assassin after them? But in regards to that, having satisfying encounters that give validation to the things that your player characters are doing in the smaller scale of a plot is hugely important, because then they really feel, okay, the last 7 sessions weren't useless. We did something.
That is something. We did something, right? We've talked about our one campaign where it feels like we're just running around in circles. That is not because there isn't something advancing or stuff like that. It just feels like we are not satisfied in what we're doing.
Exactly.
This is a thing that should be a lot more important than plot, than ideas, than story, than even the game itself, is understanding that when the table is unsatisfied with the game that is being played, in whatever way, that needs to change. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly the reason why you do session zeros. It is a good way to get all of that, to basically clear up everything, so people will be not left unsatisfied after a few sessions, mm-hmm. because they understand what type of game is going to be. When the GM says, okay, I want to run this type of game, are you all okay with that? Then we can ask questions, we can talk about it, we can be adults and understand each other's opinions on stuff, and then we can literally clear up any confusion that might lead to an unsatisfying game experience.
Exactly. And to add to that, satisfying and unsatisfying does not necessarily mean achieving your goals, but getting closure on things that you are trying to do. That's the big part. It's okay for your goal to fail or for you to not achieve your goal as a GM and as a player. But yeah, having a satisfying closure moment for that plot that you just created is so important that you have these, yeah, that you can just say, okay, it's done now. You can reminisce about it later if you want to. Sure, that's completely up to you. But a failure, in quotation marks, in terms of what your players wanted to do, can also feel satisfying if it's done right. If you give closure to your players. Because at some point, the story, this specific storyline that your players followed, is done at some point. If you want to play a poker game, when the poker game is over, this subplot is done. And then you have to give some sort of closure that it's, okay, this storyline is over now. And if you do that in a satisfying and meaningful way, even a failure to win at the big poker game can feel satisfying to your player.
Yeah, TTRPGs are not about achieving and winning. They are about doing stuff.
Exactly.
Failure is okay, and it is sometimes needed for the plot, but it should never be set in stone. I sometimes really don't like the argument of failure is great for your TTRPG plots, and I'm like, why is it better than winning? Or why is it better than achieving the thing you wanted to do? It isn't inherently better. It is just more satisfying in that moment. And that is what you should pay attention to. Is the situation satisfying? And this is also an argument for a lot of different other things. If something is satisfying, you should do it at your TTRPG tables. Because when it is satisfying, it is a good game experience. In that moment, it becomes a good game experience because it is a satisfying moment. That can be, for example, and this, your satisfying experience, right? It comes also from your dice. And dice are a very good example of why some encounters might not advance the plot in the more literary sense. Because if your plot says my players will beat this henchman to get the information that they want, and then they lose, it isn't. Is it advancing the plot? Yes. If after you have done the encounter, even though it isn't the expected outcome or the intended outcome, which we could talk about if that is even something you need, but you know the idea of that. You don't necessarily need an intended outcome. But what does the henchman then do? Does he just leave the players? Sure, then nothing really advances. But more satisfying would probably be he takes them hostage, or he takes them prisoner and takes them right to the lair of the villain, presenting them his achievement of beating them to his boss to maybe get a promotion, to become his number one right hand. But in that same moment, he brought the players to the villain lair. And maybe that is exactly where you want your players to be. It is a wrench thrown into your fucking wheels, and you don't know what to fucking do in that moment. Yeah, sure. But that is the nature of the game. You GMs out there, and I'm going to say it. It might sound very scary at first, and yeah, it is. But you can excel at these moments if you let things happen and then find a satisfying way to end it with that.
Exactly.
The thing is, especially every dice roll, when every single dice roll, even the low stakes one, are a great training opportunity for this, more or less. Let things happen as they come. And when you roll the dice and something, and the dice comes up the right side, it always comes up on the right side. The dice tell your story too.
Mm-hmm.
Then just go with that and understand that. And sometimes a string of dice rolls, a combat, for example, doesn't go the way you thought it would go. And then when the dice rolling is over, more or less, find a satisfying way to explain that dice rolling, or use that dice rolling to find a satisfying continuation of what just happened. The players lost the combat? Sure, they're going to be taken prisoner. One of them dies, maybe. That could also be a satisfying moment. It doesn't sound very good if you say someone dying is a satisfying moment, but
it is.
Sometimes it is very satisfying if you just go with the flow and are prepared for everything or prepared for nothing at all.
One great thing that a classic trope for characters failing or main characters failing something, especially in a battle with the big bad, have them monologue after they win and then just leave. It's a classic. The villain monologuing is a classic trope. And even though the players got beaten to a pulp, it still felt satisfying in a storytelling way, because still something happened. It is not, yeah, okay, we got beaten to a pulp but not killed. Cool. Very satisfying. We got nothing out of that. Nothing. Or just dropping little hints. Just something. If that fits your villain, go with that. It's a classic for a reason, having a monologue, right? And that's the thing. Satisfaction. Big thing. And just one thing to get back to the first question, does every encounter have to advance the plot? If we just say the satisfaction is the thing that we want, but also there are some things that just needs to be low tension and have nothing to do with anything, that needs to happen in encounters, in quotation marks, as well. A shopping episode doesn't achieve anything storytelling wise in most cases.
I mean,
is it satisfying though and advances the plot that the story or that the campaign is telling? Yes, because something happened. Ta-da.
But I mean, the thing is, it could be very story relevant because, right, it is just another thing that happens. It isn't inherently better than plot or session where the players are sitting in the king's throne room and basically a messenger appears from another country that is declaring war. It can be the exact same thing if you just let things happen as they come. And for example, in a shopping episode, because it sounds like the GM doesn't have to do that much of a load, that it is less important. But I think that is because we set way much too much responsibility onto the GM for making sure that there's a good plot and good storyline.
Mm-hmm.
In a shopping episode, the focus is on the players. What do you guys shop for? Why do you shop for this? And do you want to roleplay it? If you want to roleplay it, then fucking roleplay it, right? Say how you're spending the entire day shopping, looking for stuff. Explain why you're using it. Explain how you're using it, especially if you're using it then, right? We can just do the shopping in a 5 minute before the session. What do you guys want to buy? Okay, this is the price, pay it. If that is what you want to do, that is okay too. But at the same time, the session is not inherently less worth than an important intrigue session or an important combat session just because everyone thinks that it's not. It can be made that. You just have to make it that.
Exactly. But it's something that we talked about in the horror episode, is that you need a difference between high stakes and low stakes to make the high stakes are felt way more. To have that contrast between intensity and play. Even low intense situations advance the story because something is happening. As long as you are playing, something is advancing the plot of your campaign because still time progresses. As low stakes as it gets, your players go out, go shopping for new clothes because they think, why the fuck not? We just got enough money. I want to look fashionable. Yeah. Why? Because fuck you, that's why. That's as low stakes as it gets. They just do, in storytelling things, nothing relevant except having a great day for themselves, having an enjoyable day, having fun moments with each other, with the NPCs in your world. But having these low intense fun moments is so important to make the things feel satisfying when the intensity gets higher. And there we are back with the intensity thing, with the satisfaction thing. If you have a balance between high intensity and low intensity, it feels more satisfying when the things are fucking intense, when you have time to breathe and process it afterwards. If you just have high intensity all over and all over, that's the thing. Yes, everything advances the plot, and also nothing advances the plot because the plot shouldn't unfold and be told as you are playing. TTRPGs are a weird medium with two driving forces that are fucking awesome.
I want to get back, however, to the idea of plot, actually. Because, right, as I said, it is okay to have that idea. It is okay to actually think about plot in that way for TTRPGs. Because, well, it is a shared common understanding of mediums. Talk about plot, everyone understands it in that way. And having that shared common understanding of stuff is kind of important. So it is okay to use the word plot, right? We don't have to make up a new word. We just have to figure out, understand that plot means different things for different mediums. And breaking that certain structure that most other mediums use of like a 5-arc or 3-arc structure, you are allowed to do that in your TTRPGs. I would even encourage you to do it because it is a medium able to push those boundaries.
Yeah.
TTRPGs are a boundaries pushing medium, in my opinion. They are able to give you the chance to tell the story that you want to tell, but at the same time experiencing a story that you were never able to tell, and in the same moment allow you to understand new things about storytelling altogether.
Yeah.
You are learning, you are creating, you are experiencing all at the same time. Other mediums don't give you that usually, normally, most of the time. TTRPGs just give it to you freely into your hand. You just have to take that opportunity and use it. Mm-hmm. And that is also why, for example, right, I say, let the dice tell a story. Because that way you're more organically engaging with the game and engaging with the plot that is unexpected and unpredictable for you. It is gonna be push you into certain directions that you might not have guessed or wanted to in the first place, but in the end, they will be the satisfying thing. Mm. You can still have your overarching big plot moments, like a fight with the BBEG at the end, or a confrontation with the BBEG at the end. You can have that point. You can have, say, I really want that to happen. And then you can push into certain directions to get that. The only thing that you cannot do is set it in stone and say this has to happen or the campaign isn't satisfying.
Exactly.
Take the satisfying moments when they come and have your other moments that you think will be satisfying prepared and use them when you think that they will satisfy.
Mm. I think in most mediums, you could say the plot is there beforehand, before everything else. You have a plot. You have something that will happen and you write that down, write a screenplay about it, act that out however you want to, whatever medium you prefer, right? But in a TTRPG, the beforehand plot is kind of vague or should be kind of vague. Mm. You should have a rough idea and then react to whatever happened. Most percentage, or the biggest percentage of the plot that happens in a TTRPG is told in retrospect. This and this happened and created that story that we're currently telling, with vague options for you to choose, or for your players to choose, whatever path they go along, or in whichever direction they go, you have something that could work there if you want to prepare that. But there are still some plot points that you could put in there, but not a plot line beforehand. You don't have a plot line that just completely connects every single adventure, but rather a plot cloud of points beforehand, and then string around it in retrospect. I think that's the beauty of it. You have a cloud of plot points of possibility before you in TTRPGs, which you can make more specific or less specific depending on your preferences, but it shouldn't be set in stone what you have before you. What happened already is the only thing that should be set in stone, and period, without being able to be rearranged and put in different plot points and all of that, right? Am I rambling? I am rambling.
A little bit. But rambling is part of this, right? Because it isn't set in stone. It isn't predetermined. It isn't so easy to understand. And TTRPGs are a lot more complex while being simple. But only while they are being simple, they are actually that complex thing. Because through the simplicity of we're sitting around a table telling a story together in that moment at the table with the game and the dice, comes that complexity of understanding. What does that mean? What is a good moment here to happen? Because in a movie or a book, something might make a lot of sense as the next scene. But in a TTRPG, that is entirely thrown overboard because something else might be way more interesting right now.
That's just the reason why I love it, the duality of TTRPGs. Being the most simple and yet the most complex thing, having the ability to tell the most detailed story ever without having planned anything is just amazing. And one of the reasons why I play TTRPGs. Having that... having to be on my toes to keep improvising or keep putting plot points in to create an amazing story, which I never would have guessed would happen anyway. But I get surprised by what my players do, and then in the moment, how my world reacts to it. I don't plan that out. I just do what feels right in the moment. And that leads to so many amazing stories that I probably will remember for a very, very, very long time. Not necessarily all the small details, but... or maybe especially the small details. Who knows? That's something that only time will tell. But yeah, the chaotic yet structured, planned but improvised, complex yet simple thing that is TTRPGs is just amazing. And I enjoy every second of it.
For sure.
Yeah. And with that, I think the duality of TTRPGs just perfectly answers the question from before. Does every encounter have to advance the plot? Yes and no at the same time. It doesn't have to. It always does. And I think with that, I don't have anything else. Do you?
I have nothing.
So thank you all for listening. Hear you on the next one, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Double DM. It appears you liked this one. What we had to say and our advice helped you. Why not show us how we helped you in a rating, or even write a review detailing us how we helped? You can do this on the platform that you are listening on right now. It's just a few clicks, doesn't take long, and helps us out. It gets us out there and our advice into more ears of more people. Thanks again for listening and joining us on this amazing journey. Have a great day, and see you on the next one. Bye-bye.